the topic is the tafsir. Now we go into the explanation of the second surah after Surah An-Naba, that comes after Surah An-Naba. Brother, small kindness, if he can follow with us in Surah An-Nazi'at, the tafsir of Surah An-Nazi'at. Before I start, I have this opening statement. By the will of Allah, no one knows when he or she will die except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The appointed term of the hour is hidden from us. A person drives his car and may not return home. Only the news of his death may reach a relative or a friend. Sudden death is something real, and its cases are vivid. The question is, what have we prepared for the day of recompense? We may be committing sins every day, but are we seeking forgiveness? And if we do, are we fulfilling the conditions of tawbah, seeking Allah's forgiveness? The day that passes is considered gone, and the day to come we may not live to see. The present day is the one we can invest in for the hereafter. If we live our days in accordance with Allah's book and the Prophet ﷺ authentic sunnah, as understood and applied by the righteous predecessors from the companions and those who followed their path until the day of resurrection, then we hope that Allah will save us from the torment of the grave and from the horrors of the day of recompense. If we spend our days following the astray ways in belief and in acts of worship, then we can only blame ourselves. This is the introduction for the tafsir, for the exegesis, the explanation of Surah An-Nazi'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse of chapter 79, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والنازعات غرقا. Allah is swearing in this ayah by those angels who pull out the souls of the disbelievers and wicked with great violence. In this verse and the next four verses, Allah makes an oath by the angels that the day of reckoning is certain to come. This surah, this chapter was revealed in Mecca, and it also has other names. It is called As-Sahira, meaning the day when they will be brought out to the open, that is after death. It is also known as At-Tamma, meaning the greatest catastrophe, that is the day of recompense. The angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath by the angels that the day of reckoning is certain to come. The angels are beings created to serve Allah and execute His specific commands. They are from the world of the unseen. We do not see them, but we believe that they are real beings created from nur, from light, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in the hadith related by Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, angels were created from nur, from light. And al-jan, meaning the jinn, were created from smokeless flame, a flame of fire. And Adam was created as was described to you, that is from clay. This is collected by Imam Muslim in his authentic book, Sahih Muslim, and by others also. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, quote, most of the scholars of tafsir, of the explanation or interpretation of the Quran, agree that this chapter of An-Nazi'at refers to the angels who pull out the souls, the children of Adam, from their bodies, and they are a group, as it has been stated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other verses. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 61, our messengers take his soul. And in another verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ the brothers are brother Small Kindness are asking if it could, the red dots could be removed. See if, what could be done about this, inshallah. If they don't want to put text, then inshallah that will be okay. So in both verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the messengers, of the angels, as in chapter 4, verse 97, verily as for those who the angels take in death. So Imam Ibn Qayyim is saying that the angels are a group that pull the souls of Bani Adam, the children of Adam. Regarding this verse, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Now we have another verse in the Quran where it came in single. Like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sajdah, Surah 32, verse 11, the angel of death who is set over you will take your souls. It either refers to one angel who has his own assistants, or what is meant may be the kind, not the actual number, meaning not the actual number of one, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you count the ni'mah means grace, and the force, therefore this verse does not mean a single grace of Allah, because certainly the graces of Allah is what is referred to in the verse. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And if you count the ni'mah of Allah, never could you be able to count them. So although it came in the single, but it refers to the kind, and the grace of Allah is endless. So some of the great Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, including Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas, and others, said that this chapter, An-Nazi'at, are, quote, the angels that pull the souls of Bani Adam, the angels that pull the souls of the children of Adam. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said, quote, it refers to the souls of the kuffar from Bani Adam, the kuffar, the disbelievers from Bani Adam, where the angel of death pulls the soul from beneath every hair, from under the nails, and from the veins and the nerves of the feet. He drags it as a pronged roasting fork is pulled through wet wool. End of quote. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the encounter of the angels with the kuffar at the time of death by saying, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the kafir is leaving the life of this world and going on to the next, meaning the hereafter, powerful and severe angels with black faces descend upon him, carrying with them coarse sack cloths from hell, and they sit from him at a distance as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death arrives and sits by his head and says, O you foul soul, come out to Allah's wrath and anger. The soul spreads slowly through the body, so he violently drags it out like multi-pronged skewers being pulled out from wet wool, tearing with them the arteries and nerves. The pulling of the soul occurs to all the children of Adam, and it's violently and intensely is not only confined to the kafir. Allah the Most Majestic and Exalted said, describing the agonies of death of the kuffar and the wrongdoers, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. And if you could but see when the kuffar, the disbelievers, the sinful and the wicked are in the agonies of death, while the angels are stretching forth their hands saying, deliver your souls, today you shall be recompensed from with the torment of degradation. This is in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 93. And in Surah Al-Anfal, which is Surah 8, verse 50, ولو ترى إذ يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم وذوقوا عذاب الحريق. And if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve at death, they smite their faces and their backs, saying, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the coming verse swears again by the angels who gently and smoothly extract the souls of the believers. Allahu Akbar. This is the contrast. Allah in the next verse says, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, by those angels who gently take out the souls of the believers. The believers love Allah and love to meet Allah. When death approaches, they receive the glad tidings of Allah's mercy and blessings upon them. They know then that they will move to a better place than the one they are living or leaving behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this matter in the hadith related by Ubad ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported, said in this hadith, no voice. How about now? No voice? Can you hear me, please? Any voice? Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me, please? Okay, alhamdulillah. Yes, I am here. So you hear me now, alhamdulillah. Do you hear, sister? Okay, alhamdulillah. So, where was the interruption? Could you remind me so that so that you don't miss anything, inshallah? I was referring to just the last part. Okay, the last part we're talking about the tafsir of وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى, referring to the angels who gently take the souls of the believers. And we said that the believers love Allah and love to meet Allah, and that when death approaches them, they receive the glad tidings of Allah's mercy and blessings upon them. They know then that they will move to a better place than the one they are leaving behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this in the authentic hadith reported by Ubad ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and it is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And in the text reported by Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah too loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah too hates to meet him. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, or some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ said, quote, but we dislike death, end of quote. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded by saying, it is not like this, but it is meant that when the time of death of the believer approaches, he receives the good news of Allah's pleasure with him and his blessings upon him. And so at the time, or at that time, there is nothing more dear to him, meaning to the believer, than what is in front of him. He therefore loves to meet Allah, and Allah too loves the meeting with him. But when the time of death of the kafir, of the disbeliever, approaches, he receives the evil news of Allah's torment and his requital, whereupon nothing is more hateful to him than what is before him. Therefore he hates the meeting with Allah, and Allah too hates the meeting with him. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in the hadith narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib that, quote, when the believing servant is leaving this world and entering the next hereafter, angels with white faces, as if their faces were the sun, carrying with them burial sheets, that is shrouds, and scents called hamut, descend to him from al-Jannah, from paradise. They sit away from him as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death arrives and sits by his head and says, O good soul, and in another narration, O confident soul, come out to forgiveness from Allah and his pleasure. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continued saying, thereupon the soul comes out of the body just as a drop flows out from the mouth of the drinking vessel, and he takes it. And in another narration, when the soul comes out, all of the angels between the skies and the earth supplicate for Allah's blessing upon him. Those who believe and stay on the straight path of Allah, they will neither fear nor grieve at the time of death. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Verily those who say, our Rabb Allah is Allah alone, and then stand straight on the path of Tawheed, and having obeyed the commands of Allah, on them the angels will descend at the time of their death, saying, fear not, nor grieve, but receive the glad tidings of Al-Jannah, of Paradise, which you have been promised. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those. Then comes the third verse, وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحًا. Allah is making an oath, and by those that swim along, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Ali bin Abi Talib, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and Mujahid in one narration, and others, commented that Allah the Exalted is still swearing by the angels, and that the angels who seize the souls of the believers swim inside the bodies to extract the souls, like the divers who dive to remove certain objects from the sea. Other commentators also said that this verse refers to the angels who hurriedly descend to execute the command of Allah. The Imam of Tafsir, Mujahid, also said that the verse describes the angels who, quote, swim in difficult in their descent and ascent. Other reports considered that those who swim along refers to either or all of the following: the angels, planets swimming in their orbits like the sun and the moon, ships, death swimming in the bodies of offspring of Adam, the souls of the believers eagerly swimming to meet Allah, and this is reported by one saying of Ibn Abbas, and the sixth, horses in battle. Imam Ibn Qayyim said, the correct meaning is that of the angels, where the context of the verses amounts to. And this is very important. He said that the correct meaning is that of the angels, where the siyaq in Arabic, siyaq means the context, amounts to. They make the nazi'ah, which we talked about earlier, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ. They make the act of nazi'ah, which is pulling out violently the souls of the kuffar and the sinful, and also the nasht, which is the gently extracting the souls of the believers, which we talked about in verse 2, and swim inside the bodies to smoothly extract the souls of the believers. By doing so, he said, they are hastening to carry out what they are commanded to do, meaning the angels. He said, had the meaning of those who swim along being the ship, the stars, or the souls, then the verb of hastening and arranging in the next two verses that would come would have not been preceded by the letter fa in Arabic. Instead, they would have been preceded by a conjunction of the letter waw, and which means end. So, to make it short, that from the linguistic point of view, he was able also to deduct that the correct meaning regarding this verse 3 refers to the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still making an oath by the angels. And the fourth verse, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى. فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى. By those who hasten as in a race. The ayah, as most commentators say, refers to the angels. They hasten to carry out the command of Allah to its full strength, or to its full extent rather. They have the ability and strength bestowed upon them by Allah, the most able or the all able. Mujahid, the Imam of Tafsir, and Rawq, another Mufassir, said, quote, they are the angels. They hasten towards doing good and righteous good deeds, and attested to belief with the affirmation before the son of Adam. They hastened to take the souls of the believers to Al-Jannah, to paradise. Some commentators, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy be upon them, said that the angels hastened to receive Al-Wahi, the revelation, and carry it to the prophets before the shayateen do so, before the devils do so. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah explained that this necessitates that both the shayateen and the angels share in transmitting the wahi to the prophets, and this is not true. Allah protects his wahi to the prophets from being snatched by the shayateen, though they may be able to pick up some news from the angels of the near heaven related to what may occur in the world. And this is what is really used by the magicians and others and the soothsayers. So, the overwhelming majority of the commentators regarding this verse, فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى, which is verse 4, is this, the oath of Allah by those who hasten to, or press forward as in a race, referring to the angels, and they hasten towards doing good and to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes verse 5, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still making an oath, and by those angels who arrange to do the commands of Allah. The general consensus amongst the commentators is that those who arrange to carry out the commands of Allah are the angels. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, they are the angels. Allah put them in charge of certain matters which He made them, or which He made known to them. Some of them are assigned to the children of Adam, where they write their deeds and protect them. Others are in charge of rain, vegetation, destruction, transmutation, winds and clouds. End of the words of Ibn Abbas. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah also said, Allah in charged angels to move the orbits, the sun and the moon. Other angels are to take care of the winds and to direct them in accordance with Allah's commands. Angels are assigned to rain and to clouds, driving them to whatever they are commanded. It is confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith related by Abu Huraira. Listen to this great hadith. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, while a man was in the wilderness, he heard a voice from the cloud commanding it, a voice commanding the cloud, irrigate the garden of so and so. He heard the voice command, this voice, irrigate the garden of so and so. After that, the clouds slid aside and poured water on a stony ground. It filled a channel amongst the channels of that land. The man followed that water, and he found a person standing in the garden, busy in changing the course of water with the help of a tool made of iron. He said to him, O slave of Allah, what is your name? He said, so and so. And it was the very name which he had heard from the clouds. The person said to the man, O slave of Allah, why do you ask me my name? He said, I heard the voice from the clouds from which the rain came, saying, water the garden of so and so, like your name. What do you do for the favor shown to you by Allah in this matter? He, this man, said, now as you state so, I look what yield I get, and I give third as a charity out of it, and I and my children eat one third of it, and one third I return it as an investment. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, Imam Ahmad and others. He subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted the angels with the mountains also. It is confirmed that the angel of the mountains came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, greeted him with salam, and asked his permission, meaning the Prophet's permission, to destroy his people, the people of At-Ta'if, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished so. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no, You know, the people of Taif, when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, most of them rejected him. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel of the mountains, and he came to the Prophet ﷺ, greeted him with salam, and asked his permission to destroy the city of At-Ta'if, which is close to Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, I hope that Allah will let them beget children who will worship Allah alone and will worship none besides Allah. In fact, in the hadith, in the details of the hadith, the angel said, O Muhammad, order what you wish. If you like, I will let the two mountains, and he named them Abu Qubais and its opposite at the extremities of Mecca, fall on them, fall on the people of At-Ta'if. The Prophet ﷺ answered by the answer that I gave you, no, but I hope that Allah will let them beget children who will worship Allah alone and will worship none besides Allah. This hadith is related by Al-Bukhari and by Muslim. Allah also assigned an angel to the womb, and the angel says, O Rabb, O my Rabb, a nutfa, O Rabb, a alaqa, O Rabb, a mudgha. What does this really mean? Ya Rabb, O Rabb, referring to Allah, a nutfa, meaning a mixed drops of male and female sexual charges. O Rabb, alaqa, a clot, which is piece of thick coagulated blood. O Rabb, O Lord, a mudgha, little lump of flesh. And then, if Allah wishes to complete the child's creation, the angel will say, O Rabb, O Lord, a male or female. O Rabb, wretched or blessed in this deen, on his deen, in his religion. What will his livelihood be? What will his age be? This hadith is part of an authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ ended it by saying, the angel writes all of this while the child is in the womb of his mother. Four angels are appointed to each slave in this world. Two angels watching him or her and keeping records of his or her deeds. One sitting on the right and one on the left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. But verily, over you are appointed angels in charge of mankind to watch you. They are honorable in Allah's sight, writing down your deeds. They know all that you do. And in another verse, this verse is in Surah Al-Infitar, which is Surah 82, verse 10 and 12. And in Surah Qaf, which is Surah 50, verse 17-18. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. Remember that the two receivers, the recording angels, receive one sitting on the right and one on the left to note his or her actions. Not a word does he or she utter, but there is a watcher by him or her to record it. At least two other angels are before and behind man, succeed in guarding him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. For each person, there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him or her by the command of Allah. In fact, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma commented on this verse by saying, the angels in succession are appointed by Allah for the protection of man, before and behind him. When the decree of Allah, in which the preordained would manifest itself upon him, is to reach man, the angels would leave him then. These angels are included in the ayah 61 of Surah Al-An'am, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. He, Allah, is Al-Qahir, the Supreme, above His slaves. And He sends guardians, angels, guarding and writing all of one's good and bad deeds over you. An angel has been assigned for death, the angel of death, and others to question the dead in their graves. When a dead person is buried, two black-looking angels, having blue eyes, one called Munkar and the other called Nakir will come to man. They will ask, what did you say, what did you used to say about this man, about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If he or she was a believer, he would reply, he is Allah's slave and messenger. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, and that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. And if he or she was a hypocrite, he will say, I heard people saying a word, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the like of which I also said, but I don't know, that is, whether he was truly a prophet or not. And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi. Angels of mercy and angels of torment, angels giving support to the believer and pushing him to do good, angels in charge of hell, angels in charge of hell, building it, setting its fire and making its chains and iron colors, angels appointed to Al-Jannah, to paradise, building and furnishing it, making its thrones, cushions and rich carpets. The matters of the upper world, the lower world, paradise and hell are arranged by the angels, by the permission and command of Allah. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ. They speak not until he, Allah, has spoken, and they act on his command. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They disobey not from executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do that which they are commanded. Angels have been assigned to the seas to keep them from overflowing and to turn them into blazing fire, or make them overflow on the day of resurrection. That's why belief in the angels is one of the foundations of Iman, without which it is nullified. Recognizing these matters, it becomes evident that every move in this universe is caused by the angels, by the will of Allah, and that their moves are manifestations of their obedience to Allah's will and command. Thus, the entire matter in an execution by the angels of whatever Allah wants to pass from His universal and legislative commands. That is why the angels are called Malaika, which is derived from Aluka, which means the message. They are the messengers of Allah to execute His command. Allah therefore made an oath by the angels and their deeds, because they are from the best of His creatures. He does not swear except by that which is great in itself, or great for being one of His signs. Since the angels are linked to the concept of reward and punishment, and to hereafter, Allah is swearing by them that the disbelievers will be held to account. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَ. Verses 6 and 7. The day when the first blowing of the trumpet is blown, the earth and the mountains will shake violently, and الرَّادِفَ, the second blowing of the trumpet, follows it. A call for the Prophet ﷺ to remind the people about the day of resurrection, when the first and the second blowing of the trumpet occurs. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, this verse refers to the two blows. When the first blowing occurs, every living being will die. The second blowing raises the dead. Then he recited the saying of Allah, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصُعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَنُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will swoon away, except him whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown a second time, and behold, they will be standing, looking on, waiting. As in Surah Al-Zumar, Surah 39, verse 68. Imam Mujahid said, rahimahullah, the first blowing will cause the mountains and the earth to shake violently. Then with Ar-Rafida, the second blowing, the heavens will split asunder, and the earth and the mountains shall be removed from their places and crushed with a single crushing. I will stop here inshallah ta'ala. This surah يعني will take some time to finish because there are so many يعني evidences and the hadith and the sayings of the sahaba regarding many of the verses of this great surah. So inshallah, instead of يعني going in a fast way over them, I will prefer to stop here so that inshallah we'll take more evidences from the sunnah as well as from the saying of the companions regarding some of these verses. So inshallah we finished the up to the end of verse 7 of this chapter, which is the chapter of An-Nazi'at, and all of the first 5 verses refer to the oath or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making an oath by the angels in different ways as explained earlier. So, and we gave some يعني, explanations to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the angels as well as the actions of some of angels and their assignments. The belief in the angels constitute, as you know, one of the 6 pillars of al-Iman. واحد من ستة من الأركان الستة للإيمان. And maybe inshallah on a separate discussion we can go over these articles of faith in details, but for the moment inshallah this should be sufficient as regard to the tasks carried on by the angels as well as their executions of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of this a benefit for me and you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those whom He will bless with steadfastness on the time of questioning in the grave and after that. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa barakallahu fikum wa jazakum allahu khaira. لا توريني اياها عاد خلص اسمع حط عليها ابيض هذا وخلص الحين ما جبهاش طيب جزاكم الله خير all of you. This chapter is called النازعات سورة النازعات those who pull out. This was the tafsir, the beginning of the tafsir. This is called exegesis and or interpretation or commentary. The tafsir of this chapter, النازعات, those who pull out. It is in the banner. Okay, alhamdulillah. Surah 79. Barakallah fiqh, akh, small kindness. Yeah. There was, there were many hadith which I didn't want to go into every single one of them. And inshallah ta'ala, for those who want more about it, I can refer them to this hadith. For example, when we mentioned how would I explain what exactly is in the actions of the angels? The actions of the angels, first of all, as you heard earlier, Islam is beauty. The angels, they are assigned into specific tasks in this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have angels for the rain, for the wind, and just for mountains, so many. All of these have been proven by authentic narrations. And I was going to go over. There should be inshallah. There is no confusion regarding this, because there are evidences from the Quran and or authentic Sunnah regarding the tasks of these angels. Inshallah, this triggers, in fact, the need for a special topic regarding the angels, and that is the belief in the angels. When we go over the pillars of faith inshallah ta'ala, if you wish we can discuss that inshallah in more details. For example, Islam is beauty. Take for example the angels of mercy and the angels of torment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there was a man from Bani Israel, from the children of Israel, who murdered 99 persons. Then he set out asking whether his repentance could be accepted or not. he came upon a monk and asked him if his repentance could be accepted. The monk replied in the negative. And so the man killed the monk. He already killed 99 and he completed 100 by killing the monk. He kept on asking till a man advised him to go to such and such village. So he left for it, for that village. But death overtook him on the way, the Prophet ﷺ said. While dying, he turned his chest towards that village where he had hoped his repentance would be accepted. And so the angels of mercy, this is the evidence, and so the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment quarreled amongst themselves regarding him, the Prophet ﷺ said. Allah ordered the village towards which he was going to come closer to him, and ordered the village when once he had come to go far away, and then he ordered the angels to measure the distances between his body and the two villages. So he was found to be one span closer to the village he was going to, so he was forgiven. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and by Muslim, by Ibn Majah, and by Ahmad. And the text I gave you is from Sahih al-Bukhari. And also in the hadith reported by Abu Hurairah and collected by An-Nasa'i, the Prophet ﷺ said, when death approaches the believer, the angels of mercy come to him carrying a white sheet of silk, and when death approaches the kafir, the angels of torment arrive carrying coarse strips of cloth. So yani this, I'm just giving yani evidences and proofs for the angels and their tasks. So we have learned now from this hadith, or these two hadiths, that there are the angel, there are angels of mercy as well as there are angels of torment. And also there are angels giving support to the believer and pushing him to do good. And there are angels in charge of hell, as you know. With respect to the those supporting him to do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if yuhi rabbuka ila al-mala'ikati anni ma'akum fathabbitu alladhina amanu sa'ulqi fi qulubi alladhina kafaru ar-ru'ba fadribu fawqa al-a'naqi wadribu minhum kulla banan. As in chapter 8 and verses 9 Surah Al-Anfal chapter 8 verse 12, remember when your Rabb, your Lord, inspired the angels saying, verily I am with you, so keep firm those who have believed. Keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieved. So strike them over the necks and smite over their fingers and toes. And this was in some of the battles that took place between the believers and the non-believers. So this inshallah should be suffice to to provide evidence for the classifications of angels and their tasks and assignments. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa jazakum Allahu khairan.